Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God would move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
Father God, everything we need, you are. Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we ask, Father God, that you would forgive us for we've fallen short of your glory. Father God, forgive us for things that we've said that wasn't pleasing in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for the things that we've done that doesn't line up with your word or your will. Forgive us, Father, where we've been disobedient and rebellious. Father, there are things that we should have done that you told us to do, and we refused to do it. So, please, Father, please forgive us in Jesus' name. Now, we come tonight, Father, asking that you would allow your spirit to fall fresh tonight. Yeah. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would speak to our hearts and minds, that we, your people, might be edified. But we pray most of all that you might be glorified. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would move me out of the way and allow us to hear from heaven tonight. Yes. Father God, that we might be better equipped to serve, to follow, and to glorify and love you. Father, we thank you for all who are assembled here tonight. We pray your blessings on each and every man and woman. We pray, Father God, that you would provide for them the things that they stand in need of. Father, we praise you, we exalt you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we are continuing our series of faithfulness. And our text is going to be taken from Matthew 23. And we're going to look at 24 verses. We're going to read 24. We're going to focus on three verses. But we're going to read the first 24 verses. Matthew 23:1-24. If you find it, I encourage you to stand, signifying that we're going to stand on the Word of God. That's where we get in trouble. We're going to stand on everything else rather than the Word of God. And the Word of God says, then Moses spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to do, tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the hearing, reading, and doing of this precious and holy word. Our text tonight is God's call to complete faithfulness. And a little background on Jesus is dealing with the scribes and Pharisees, and he's dealing with their lives. You know, they're members of the religious body. A Pharisee is a member of an ancient Jewish sect noted for strict observance of rites and ceremonies of the traditional law. They were good about following the letter of the law. And Jesus is dealing with them about the way they did things. He's dealing with us about the way we do things. You know, we come to church on Sundays, we show back up on Wednesdays, those of us who show back up. And then the rest of the week we go about our daily lives. You know, and it's not a judgment call. But what it is God is calling for more. God is calling for a lot more from us. We're called to faithfulness. The Pharisees, they had a false concept of righteousness. Their thinking was that they were to, everything was written down in the traditional law was the thing that the people were to follow. But they forgot about God's law. You know, and that's what they were supposed to be about. You know, if you've seen in our earlier text, in verse 3, it tells them that they were to do and observe all that the Pharisees told them to do. You know, but that was based on what they taught from the Word. That was the only thing that they were to obey as long as they were teaching from the Word, but not the traditions. Not the man-made laws. The man-made laws, they weren't to obey. Because if it went contrary to God's laws, they were being disobedient to God. To the Pharisee, righteousness meant outward conformity. And it was to doing things to where people could see what they were doing. But they ignored the inward condition of the heart. You know, their hearts were far from the things that God had called them to do. And we run into that in our daily lives. We say one thing, and we do something else. to preach one thing and practice another is hypocrisy. Bottom line, we can say, well, you called me a hypocrite, but our actions speak louder than our words. And tonight, God wants us to come to a complete lifestyle of faithfulness. Tonight, my points are going to be fairness, forgiving in kind, and faithfulness. Dealing with fairness, the Word of God tells us in verse 23, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, and mercy, and faith. Justice is fairness. The scribes and the Pharisees dealt with people on a regular basis. They were quick to judge the way people were living. But in their judging, they weren't being fair. Because they wanted to deal with people the way they wanted to deal with them, based on those traditions that they had laid down. There is a passage in the Bible where they bring a woman caught in the act of adultery to test Jesus. You know, but that was, they wanted him to deal with it based on their traditions rather than God's tradition. And God's tradition was fairness. And God, that's the way God wants us to deal with one another, with justice, or fairness. How many of us know or have family members that are unsaved, that grew up in church problems? They know the way they need to go. They know how to go about it, but they're just not doing it. But we pass judgment on them all the time because we go to them and we tell them that you know what you're supposed to be doing. God didn't call us to that. God called us to be fair with them. God called us to love them. And that's what we're called to do. We love people into the kingdom. We don't browbeat them. We don't badger them. What we do is we love them. And we love them by our lifestyle. We love them by our actions. We love them by the way we deal with them, with fairness. God is calling us to complete faithfulness. And we need to be faithful in our fairness to other people. We need to be faithful in our justice of other people. You know, I wasn't in Sunday school, but I got a little bit about it. You know, y'all dealt with judging others. You catch me wrong, if you love me, you'll say something to me. That's being fair. You know, you're not to judge me, to condemn me, but you judge me in such a sense that you want to win me back to Christ. That's being fair. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to be fair in our dealings with others.
That's right.
Be fair in our dealings on our job.
Amen.
In our homes. You know, in preparation, you know, my grandson lives with me, and love him to death. And, you know, I catch myself sometimes not being very fair. Because, you know, if you leave clothes in the bathroom, I got a problem with that. You know, that's a pet peeve with me. Or if you leave several dishes in the sink, I have a problem with that. But fairness says, if either I do the dishes or say it in such a way that it encourages him to get them done. That's being fair. You know, I can't scream and shout at him and talk crazy to him. I have to be fair because he's growing. He's growing. And I want him to see Jesus. I don't want him to see an old, hardcore, mean old man. I want him to see Jesus.
That's right.
But just so you know, there have been days that he saw a hardcore, mean old man. So But God is calling us to complete faithfulness.
Yes, right.
But he's also calling us to be forgiven and kind, which is mercy.
Yes, mercy.
Is there anybody in the house that had never received any mercy? Everything we receive, we ought to give out. Because God blesses us to be a blessing to somebody else.
Absolutely.
God didn't give us mercy so that we can get that mercy and we can go on about our business. God blesses us with mercy so that we can be merciful. The Bible tells us that blessed are the merciful. We need to be forgiven and kind. How many times have we run into people that have said some evil and mean and hateful things about us? Some may have been true, some may have not been true. Were we merciful in our dealings with them? Or were we wanting God to rain down fire and brimstone like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah?
Well,
we ought to be growing now. We ought to be growing. But seriously, the Bible is calling us to move up a little bit.
Amen.
We ought to be better today than we were last year. But what we have to do is we have to think about the divine favor that we have received from God.
Amen.
And our dealings with others, we share that same thing. And we do that by being forgiving and kind. By showing mercy. The scribes and Pharisees weren't like that. It was all about them. Now, if you read in that text, it does say that they did some good things. It says, for you paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Those are spices, different types of spices. And they paid tithe on it. You know, if that meant that 10% of what they got, they were quick to pay tithe on. And if I heard somebody's feelings, then pray for me. But how many of us are quick, that quick to pay our 10%? The Bible says bring the first fruits into the house. You know, they had some bad things that they did, things they should have done that they didn't do. But they did some great things. You know, the passage tells us these things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. That meant that they continued to pay their tithes and offerings, but they need to continue to be forgiving and kind. You know, do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? After the robbers beat him up and left him in the ditch, who was the first one to come by and see him laying in the ditch? It was a Pharisee. And as the Pharisee got close to him, the Bible said that he got on the other side of the room. He walked clean around the man. The next person that came by was a priest. He did the same thing. What are we doing? Are we neglecting the weightier matters of the law? Are we neglecting fairness? Are we neglecting to be forgiving and kind? You know, if we look at this passage, I don't know how yours is headed, but this has always been called the Woe To chapter. Because that's what Christ is dealing with. He's dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. And these are godly people. These are people that were in church all the time, doing everything they were supposed to be doing on the outward. But their hearts were so far from God. They did everything right. They stood up and they prayed. But their intent was wrong. Because they prayed so people could hear them pray. But the good thing about what they did is they did pray. are we praying like we need to pray? We're in 88 days of prayer. Are you praying morning, noon, and night? 88 days. Is there a road to for Bethlehem? Is God going to be able to call us hypocrites? A hypocrite, somebody that has two faces. You put out the face you want people to see. You know, when I'm hanging with my boys, I got one face. But when I come into the house of the Lord, I got another face. Are we being fair? Are we being forgiving and kind? The last point is faithfulness. It tells us that we ought to do these things. We ought to be faithful. You ought to be faithful to Bible study. Personal as well as corporate. You can't grow if you don't know. We need to be faithful to prayer.
Amen.
The New Testament church moved in power because they prayed. You go to the book of Acts, and all through the book of Acts, when you see the people of God, they're coming together and they're praying. And as they pray, things are happening. People being set free from prison. Peter can stand up and testify to that fact. You know, they were praying. They might have not believed that God was going to answer their prayer, because when Peter was set free from the jail and he showed up knocking at the door, and the young girl Rhoda knocked and answered the door, and she saw Jesus, she got excited and she ran back in to tell the people who was praying. And the people that was praying said, "Oh no, something's wrong with you. You're crazy. Go somewhere and sit down. You got it confused." These are God's people that were praying. But they were praying. They were praying. And then finally they snapped. They went to the door. But they got an opportunity to see that God does answer prayer. We know for a fact that God answers prayer. Some of us are in the house tonight because God answers prayer.
Amen.
There are people that were praying for you and for me. I'm a living testimony about how the power of prayer works. Because there were people praying for me. And because they prayed for me, I'm in the Lord. There are people in this box that we pray for on Wednesday nights. Are you praying for them on Tuesday nights? Are you praying for them on Saturday night? Some of them are names that you put in the box. Others put names in the box. But we ought to mention all those names. That's being faithful. Being faithful is getting out of self and doing the things that the Spirit leads us to do. And not everything that we need to do is done in this house. There are people that need to see the love of Christ.
Amen.
They're not going to see it because we're locked up in this box.
Right.
But they need to see it outside this box. And it's not for me to look at you and judge you on whether you're witnessing or not. I need to look at me and see if I'm not doing what God has called me to do. The Bible tells us to visit widows and orphans. When's the last time you visited a widow? Or a widower? Or an orphan? You know, we got single parent households. When's the last time you visited? You want people to see Jesus? You want to be faithful? Visit. Get out of ourselves and get into what the Lord has called us to do. The scribes and Pharisees stood up where everybody could see them, doing everything they were supposed to do. But it's not those things that people see us do. that brings God glory. It's the things that we do because of our love for Christ when nobody else is looking. That's being faithful. God is calling us to complete faithfulness. Not sometime faithfulness in our giving, in our visiting. He's calling us to complete faithfulness, to surrender our whole self to Him and allow Him to use us to bring Himself glory. Are you satisfied with your walk with Christ? Do you think you're as faithful as you could possibly be in Christ? This message is really challenging to me. Because I do try. But you know, I've heard it said that the little trying I do still ain't enough. I can do better. Because I don't want Christ to call me a hypocrite. I don't want to hear the woe to Bruce. What I want to do is I want to be more fair in my deeds. I want to be more forgiving and kind. And I want to be more faithful. Is there anybody in the house want to be more faithful tonight?
Amen.
The way we get there is that we purpose in our heart that I'm going to do better for Christ. And then what we do is we begin to pray and ask God to direct us in the way that He wants us to go. Because it's not my path. It's a path that God has for me. And the only way we're going to get there is we have to surrender ourselves to Christ and allow Him to work His work through us. And it's not hard, because everybody sitting in the house has Jesus in their life. And the Word tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing too hard for God. And so all it takes is us getting to a point of saying, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. And remain faithful in those areas. There are going to be days you're going to slip and fall. But get up and say, Lord, I'm starting over again. Tonight, we can start being faithful in our prayer. Because it's prayer time. We know of names and requests that are on our prayer list that we need to pray for. You may not want to pray out loud, but your prayer may be the prayer that helps somebody else be encouraged to do what God would have them to do.
Amen. Amen.
You're not trying to be a scribe or a Pharisee. You're just trying to give somebody a blessing. There are names in this box that we want to see in the house. Maybe not Bethlehem, but we want to see them in God's house somewhere, serving and surrender to God. But we need to pray. We need to pray. We come here Wednesday after Wednesday, and the call is given out to pray. One or two or three of you pray. But as I look out over this audience, I grew up with a lot of you. I was in youth meeting with a lot of you. And I know you can pray. Because we used to pray all the time. We still need God. So we need to pray.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program, and before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know, know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and say, amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love to believe by faith that you've been born household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. If you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up and the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby, and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again. Here in Cyber Church or in the service. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name.
We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again, now, If God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, a state-of-the-arts build, a reality, because you've taken time to give 25, 50, 10, 100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.org.